On the Incarnation by St. Athanasius. Chapter 5. The Resurrection. Fitting indeed, then, and wholly consonant, was the death on the cross for us. And we can see how reasonable it was, and why it was that the salvation of the world could be accomplished in no other way. Even on the cross, he did not hide himself from sight. Rather, he made all creation witness to the presence of its Maker. Then, having once let it be seen that it was truly dead, he did not allow that temple of his body to linger long, but forthwith on the third day raised it up, impassible and incorruptible, the pledge and token of his victory. It was, of course, within his power thus to have raised his body and displayed it as alive directly after death. But the all-wise Saviour did not do this, lest some should deny that it had really or completely died. Besides this, had the interval between his death and resurrection been but 2 days, the glory of his incorruption might not have appeared. He waited one whole day to show that his body was really dead, and then, on the third day, showed it incorruptible to all. The interval was no longer, lest people should have forgotten about it, and grown doubtful whether it were in truth the same body. No, while the affair was still ringing in their ears, and their eyes were still straining, and their minds in turmoil, and while those who had put him to death were still on the spot, and themselves witnessing to the fact of it, the Son of God, after 3 days, showed his once dead body immortal and incorruptible, and it was evident to all that it was from no natural weakness that the body which the Word indwelt had died, but in order that in it, by the Saviour's power, death might be done away. A very strong proof of this destruction of death and its conquest by the cross is supplied by a present fact, namely this. All the disciples of Christ despise death. They take the offensive against it, and instead of fearing it, by the sign of the cross and by faith in Christ, trample on death as on something dead. Before the divine sojourn of the Saviour, even the holiest of men were afraid of death, and mourned the dead as those who perish. But now that the Saviour has raised his body, death is no longer terrible. But all those who believe in Christ tread it underfoot as nothing, and prefer to die rather than to deny their faith in Christ, knowing full well that when they die, they do not perish, but live indeed, and become incorruptible through the resurrection. But that devil who of old wickedly exulted in death, now that the pains of death are loosed, he alone it is who remains truly dead. There is proof of this too. For men who, before they believe in Christ, think death horrible, and are afraid of it, once they are converted, despise it so completely that they go eagerly to meet it, and themselves become witnesses of the Saviour's resurrection from it. Even children hasten thus to die, and not men only, but women, train themselves by bodily discipline to meet it. So weak has death become that even women who used to be taken in by it mock at it now like a dead thing robbed of all its strength. Death has become like a tyrant who has been completely conquered by the legitimate monarch. Bound hand and foot, the passers-by sneer at him, hitting him and abusing him, no longer afraid of his cruelty and anger, because of the king who has conquered him. So has death been conquered and branded for what it is by the Saviour, on the cross. It is bound hand and foot. All who are in Christ trample it as they pass, and as witnesses to him deride it, scoffing and saying, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? Is this a slender proof of the impotence of death, do you think? Or is it a slight indication of the Savior's victory over it, when boys and young girls who are in Christ look beyond this present life and train themselves to die? Everyone is by nature afraid of death and of bodily dissolution. The marvel of marvels is that he who is enfolded in the faith of the cross despises this natural fear, and for the sake of the cross is no longer cowardly in the face of it. The natural property of fire is to burn. Suppose, then, that there was a substance, such as the Indian asbestos is said to be, which had no fear of being burnt, but rather displayed the impotence of the fire by proving itself unburnable. If anyone doubted the truth of this, all he need do would be to wrap himself up in the substance in question, and then touch the fire. Or again, to revert to our former figure, if anyone wanted to see the tyrant bound and helpless, who used to be such a terror to others, he could do so simply by going into the country of the tyrant's conqueror. Even so, if anyone still doubts the conquest of death, after so many proofs and so many martyrdoms in Christ, and such daily scorn of death by his truest servants, he certainly does well to marvel at so great a thing, but he must not be obstinate in unbelief and disregard of plain facts. No, he must be like the man who wants to prove the property of the asbestos, and like him who enters the conqueror's dominions to see the tyrant bound. He must embrace the faith of Christ, this disbeliever in the conquest of death, and come to his teaching. Then he will see how impotent death is, and how completely conquered. Indeed, there have been many former unbelievers and deriders, who, after they became believers, so scorned death as even themselves to become martyrs for Christ's sake. If, then, it is by the sign of the cross, and by faith in Christ, that death is trampled underfoot, it is clear that it is Christ himself and none other who is the arch-victor over death and has robbed it of its power. Death used to be strong and terrible, but now, since the sojourn of the Savior and the death and resurrection of his body, it is despised. And obviously it is by the very Christ who mounted on the cross that it has been destroyed and vanquished finally. When the sun rises after the night, and the whole world is lit up by it, nobody doubts that it is the sun which has thus shed its light everywhere and driven away the dark. Equally clear is it, since this utter scorning and trampling down of death has ensued upon the Savior's manifestation in the body and his death on the cross, that it is he himself who brought death to nothing and daily raises monuments to his victory in his own disciples. How can you think otherwise when you see men naturally weak hastening to death, unafraid at the prospect of corruption, fearless of the descent into Hades, and even, indeed, with eager soul, provoking it, not shrinking from tortures, but preferring thus to rush on death for Christ's sake, rather than to remain in this present life. If you see with your own eyes men and women and children even thus welcoming death for the sake of Christ's religion, how can you be so utterly silly and incredulous and maimed in your mind as not to realize that Christ, to whom all these bear witness, himself gives the victory to each, making death completely powerless for those who hold his faith and bear the sign of the cross. No one in his senses doubts that a snake is dead when he can see it trampled underfoot, especially when he knows how savage it used to be. Nor, if he sees boys making fun of a lion, does he doubt that the brute is either dead or completely bereft of strength. These things can be seen with our own eyes, and it is the same with the conquest of death. Doubt no longer, then, when you see death mocked and scorned by those who believe in Christ, that by Christ death was destroyed, and the corruption that goes with it resolved and brought to an end. What we have said is indeed no small proof of the destruction of death, and of the fact that the cross of the Lord is the monument to his victory. But the resurrection of the body to immortality, which results henceforward from the work of Christ, the common Savior and true life of all, is more effectively proved by facts than by words to those whose mental vision is sound. For if, as we have shown, death was destroyed, and everybody tramples on it because of Christ, how much more did he himself first trample and destroy it in his own body? Death having been slain by him, then, what other issue could there be than the resurrection of his body and its open demonstration as the monument of his victory? How could the destruction of death have been manifested at all had not the Lord's body been raised? But if anyone finds this insufficient, let him find proof of what has been said in present facts. Dead men cannot take effective action. Their power of influence on others lasts only till the grave. Deeds and actions that energize others belong only to the living. Well then, look at the facts in this case. The Savior is working mightily among men. Every day he is invisibly persuading numbers of people all over the world, both within and beyond the Greek-speaking world, to accept his faith and be obedient to his teaching. Can anyone, in face of this, still doubt that he has risen and lives, or rather, that he himself is the life? Does a dead man prick the consciences of men so that they throw all the traditions of their fathers to the winds and bow down before the teaching of Christ? If he is no longer active in the world, as he must needs be if he is dead, how is it that he makes the living to cease from their activities, the adulterer from his adultery, the murderer from murdering, the unjust from avarice, while the profane and godless man becomes religious? If he did not rise but is still dead, how is it that he routs and persecutes and overthrows the false gods, whom unbelievers think to be alive, and the evil spirits which they worship? For where Christ is named, idolatry is destroyed, and the fraud of evil spirits exposed. Indeed, no such spirit can endure that name, but takes to flight at the sound of it. This is the work of one who lives, not of one dead, and more than that, it is the work of God. It would be absurd to say that the evil spirits whom he drives out, and the idols which he destroys, are alive. But that he who drives out and destroys, and whom they themselves acknowledge to be Son of God, is dead. In a word, then, those who disbelieve in the resurrection have no support in facts, for if their gods and evil spirits do not drive away the supposedly dead Christ, Rather, it is he who convicts them of being dead.